Right now, the most dangerous fire hazard in your house probably isn't your gas stove or, a frayed space heater.
No, definitely not.
Right. It's actually the human psychology that kicks in at like 2 in the morning when the power goes out. Your house is freezing and you're standing in front of that unassuming gray metal box in your basement.
Yeah, you just want the heat back on.
Exactly. And in that moment of frustration, people make decisions that completely bypass the engineering designed to keep their home from burning down.
It is a classic collision of human impatience and rigid physics.
Right. So welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to shortcut your way to being a well-informed homeowner or renter by decoding how this box actually works. We're using excerpts from the Complete Guide to Electrical Panels and Distribution Systems as our source today.
It's such a vital text because you are interacting with what is functionally a heavily fortified border checkpoint, but treating it like it's just another light switch.
Okay, let's unpack this. We want to know why this box is the most vital safety device in the building and how to know if it's silently failing on you.
To really grasp the stakes here, we have to reframe how we view this equipment. It's not a storage tank for electricity, it's a high-speed logistical sorting
And
facility.
sort of facility, yeah.
Upstream of your main breaker is the utility grid's domain, and that side is unmetered, infinitely powerful, and completely unforgiving. It's always energized.
And downstream is your controlled environment, your private system.
Precisely. The panel is the only thing standing between the infinite potential energy of the grid and the highly sensitive copper wiring hidden inside your drywall.
People often use the analogy of a dam holding back a raging river. So is the main breaker like the dam, and the bus bars are like the irrigation canals processing the water?
That's a great way to picture the guards and highways of the system. The electricity arrives via the service entrance conductors, which again are always live. And it passes through the main breaker. That's your master on-off switch that sets the ampacity limit, usually like 100 amps or 200 amps.
So it caps the maximum flow.
Exactly. From there, it flows onto the bus bars, which are these flat copper or aluminum rails. In a North American residential setup, these bus bars carry split phase 240 volt power.
Got it. And there's a supporting cast in there too, right?
Yeah, you have the neutral bar, which routes the return current back to the utility, and the ground bar, which provides a safe fault path straight to the earth.
So whether you call it a breaker box, a load center, a panel board, whatever, every single time you plug your phone in or flip a switch, the power traces its exact path back to this specific anatomy.
It does every single time.
Which brings us to how power gets distributed onto individual branch circuits and how the panel ensures those specific circuits don't catch fire.
Right, the gatekeepers, the circuit breakers.
Yeah. Switches that monitor current and trip instantly if they're overloaded. You've got single pole breakers for standard 15 or 20 amp circuits and double pole for 240 volt heavy appliances.
Which is a huge contrast to the older fuse boxes you find in pre-1960s homes. Those use literal metal strips that physically melt to break a circuit.
And I want to push back on something here, just playing devil's advocate. If a fuse melts and breaks the circuit, isn't that physically foolproof? I mean, why are fuse boxes basically outlawed in new builds?
Well, what's fascinating here is the human element. You cannot engineer around human laziness. The physics of a melting metal ribbon are indeed flawless.
Right, it sacrifices itself for the house.
Exactly. If you overload a 15 amp fuse, it melts, the circuit opens, and the danger is gone. But the failure point happens immediately after that.
Ah, the 2 a.m. psychology we talked about.
You nailed it. When a modern breaker trips, you just reset it. But when a fuse blows, it's totally destroyed. You have to physically unscrew it and replace it.
And if you're standing in the dark and you don't have a spare 15 amp fuse.
But you do have a 30 amp fuse sitting in a drawer somewhere.
Oh, wow. The temptation is overwhelming.
It really is. So you screw that 30 amp fuse into a circuit wired with thin copper meant only for 15 amps.
Which is what the industry calls the deadly trap of overfusing.
It is lethal. Because replacing a blown fuse is inconvenient, people bypass the safety limit entirely. The 30 amp fuse happily allows massive current to flow. The wire itself overheats, the insulation melts, and the wood studs catch fire.
You essentially turned the hidden wiring inside your walls into the new fuse.
Precisely. This massive fire hazard is why breakers, which simply reset and have a fixed, non-bypassable capacity, are the universal modern standard. It's why insurance companies absolutely hate fuse boxes.
Since bypassing safety limits is such a huge hazard, how can you, as a listener, tell if your modern breaker panel is genuinely overwhelmed? or, you know, silently failing.
There are a few major warning signs the text outlines.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, so first, breakers that trip frequently, or breakers that physically won't stay in the on-end position. Flickering lights are another big one.
What about the physical box itself? If I touch the metal panel and it feels warm, is that just it? Like working hard like a laptop battery? Or is that a problem?
Oh no, heat is a major, major warning sign. A panel shouldn't feel warm. It indicates sustained high current draw, or loose connections generating